Wookiee.
It's time for Perf Bites.
What the f*** is Perf Bites? The fourth square meal of the day. So put right to Perf Bites. Waffles. Microwave ready.
It's time for Perf Bites with your hosts, Mark Tomlinson and James Pulley.
Perf Bites.
Hey, it's time for Perf Bites. It's live barbecue, 4th of July, Independence Day. Once again, I am here in the Perf Bites Southern Command in Monroe, North Carolina, with my co-host and good friend, James Pulley. James, it's nice to be in your home again for, I think, what is better barbecue than last year, to be
very
honest. Well,
you know, Mark, practice does make perfect.
It does.
And so, you know, barbecue generally gets better year after year. If it doesn't, you know, find a new smoker.
By smoker, you mean a meat smoker, an actual person that's smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that doesn't work. If you've ever, like, just go into the smoking section in, like, an airport and bring some meat, it doesn't work.
That would be an interesting test.
That would be very crazy. And, of course, we're welcomed by, once again, Chewbacca.
Who, I hate to say it, has already been in the sauce.
Yeah, so welcome everyone. Right off the bat, actually, I have an opportunity to take, you know, we used to do Ask Perf Bites,
yep,
taking questions, and I have a couple of questions in the email inbox, but Reddy Kotla actually is, I believe he's probably in India, listening. He's going to be listening to the show. He's hopefully listening to the live show right now, so he would like to actually kick us off with a couple of questions celebrating our barbecue. So if you want to try to get Reddy online here?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Reddy if he's ready. All right. So he sent a couple good questions, but I'm going to see if he can join us online. All right. Let's see if Reddy's ready here. This may work. This may not. We'll see.
This is the joy of live radio. It should be ringing. Reddy, are you there with us? Reddy, can you speak up a little bit? Hello? He's not saying anything.
Reddy?
Reddy, are you there? You are. Would you welcome to Perf Bites. Would you like to ask your question? And if you could, move a little closer to the mic, maybe speak up. Yes, that's a little better. Can you just get a little closer? That'd be fine. What's the first question you had? It was a good question. We were just chatting on Facebook.
What is green chili and how chili can help for performance testing?
So, have you run into this question recently about curing theory?
No, I had listened to a webinar on performance testing recently. And I heard about this queuing theory, but I'm not so clear about that.
Yeah, okay. So, James, the question is about queuing theory. So hang on a second, Reddy. I'll let James kind of dig into what queuing theory is and why it's an essential part of being a good performance tester.
Well, as you come from a member country of you know, what are all those former British colonies called?
That's true.
The Commonwealth?
Yeah, but that was many years ago.
But you know, that whole concept of queuing
up in the UK
is a Britishism.
And what's funny is that they don't even know how to do this with their own live ticketing sites, and they're always on the news of the damned. But they do queue very well as human
Correct,
beings.
And there's the physical analogy.
Okay.
That is, at some level of the system, you can only process one element at a time. You might add more queues to widen the path. Say you're going through the gate of a toll plaza or something with an automobile, and there are multiple booths.
Okay.
But in the end, at some atomic level, you can only do something one at a time, and others have to wait. So when you're talking about queuing theory, you're really looking at the throughput on that atomic element, how fast each one can process and how many in a given period of time, and how long you have to wait in the queue before your command is processed.
Right. So the idea that you have to wait in line, and the line will only get shorter or clear out, the idea being that requests will be processed over time. So let's say you put 100 requests in the queue, and it takes 5 seconds to process those 100 requests.
Right, and this occurs at a very, very low level on a CPU where commands are queued up. You only have so many instruction threads that you can process on the CPU at any given time.
Happens in a database if you have like row level locking or latching.
Exactly, you know, someone has to wait there, and it happens even at an architectural or structural level. We're all familiar with the concept of an enterprise services bus, which is essentially we're taking information, placing it in a queue for the next member of the architecture to pick up and process and put back on another queue for delivery.
Right. So now, as a theory, I think the idea is that there's a calculation in Raj Jain's world. You know, we had this great episode with Bob Westcott recently. We're talking about these, what did he call them, like impossible math problems?
Yes. The impossible math of performance.
Yeah.
Which is, you take Raj Jain's book and it's 1,000 pages and 895 is one core equation or something.
I heard once if you play Raj Jain's book backwards, it actually makes sense.
Wow. I wonder if there's an audio version of that. I'll have to look on Amazon for that.
And it's one of those where, like, if you play Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon backwards while reading Raj Jain's book forward, then you become Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz or something like that. Anyway.
Okay.
So the queuing theory is closely related to Little's Law. And Little's Law sort of says that there should be a balance. If you have something like a queue or a single-threaded or a one-at-a-time process in the middle, that if you have 20 requests coming in the front end, let's say 20 requests per second over time, and the unit in the middle, the bottleneck, can process 20 requests per second, then you should have coming out the other side an equal balance of 20 requests per second. So input,
yes,
20 requests per second, processing 20 requests per second, that may be the ticket person at the door, and then the output should balance, should be 20 in and 20 out, and there should always be a balance between the left and right. In good performance measurement, if you see that you have more requests going slower on the front end, you can only get 10 requests per second in because it's backing up, that means that there is a bottleneck in the middle. If they're out of balance, that means you've got a bottleneck in the middle, and then you might consider adding another toll booth or adding another in the analogy you use, James.
Yeah.
So is Little's Law, that's my casual understanding of how Little's Law and queuing theory relate to one another, the balance between each.
Well, where I see Little's Law being used most often these days or most cited is in defining the number of transactions per second to go into the system. And I have a general problem with how that's being used these days in performance testing and performance engineering, because the more common use is as few virtual users as possible running at a higher cycle rate, which pushes the appropriate number of transactions, whatever that definition of transaction is, whether it's a hit or a page or whatever, through the system.
Right. But maybe the memory usage is out of balance.
Right. You're missing a whole section associated with the session object and the session resource structures that are not being fully exercised as you reduce the number of users and then use Little Law to up the number of cycles for transactions to hit a transaction rate.
To calculate what a good balanced equation should be on either side of the entry of a session or creation of the equal number of sessions. So that's this. I'll bring Reddy his volume up again here. Reddy, are you still with us?
Was that a good answer? Did that make sense?
We have to learn any theory about queuing theory, like any books. We don't know much better.
Sure. So some books. Well, one book that doesn't require you to understand math is Bob Westcott's book, the Every Computer Performance book. But Reddy, if you're interested in getting into some of the mathematics, there's Raj Jain's book, which I think is The Art of Performance.
There's another performance engineering, the practical performance engineering.
Yeah, and then any of Tannenbaum's books.
Tannenbaum's book. Also, Dr. Connie Smith has some. She's kind of in the middle. She gives you these sort of great analogies and then also other stuff, Reddy, so that would be good. Now, Reddy, you had a second question.
I think about open source tools.
Yeah, what is the best open source tool for performance?
I have to sort of, in a very unbiased way, tell you that I'm currently using JMeter as an open source tool, but there's a lot out there. I mean, there's Sung, what's the other one? There's an HTTP request. There's the Grindr. What's the other one that Gridinet used? It wasn't Grindr. It was Gatling. So Gatling is another one that at least Flood.io supports. But I have to say from the most recent, you know, with open source, it's all about who's giving you the best and most attention and contributing into the open source project from a code perspective, right? So making sure that we actually can make a commitment in your company to using a tool. And there are some really altruistic, wonderful developers out there who are, contributing into the tool and making sure that things are going smoothly and they're growing. So JMeter is probably the best one that I know of right now. And it can be a very cumbersome tool, Reddy, to learn, but there are tons of places to learn, both on the Flood.io Flood.io website as well as the BlazeMeter website. And you know, you can plug any open source tool like JMeter. You can pull some of their stuff. You can use it with a commercial tool with LoadRunner. You can plug it into the SOSA stuff if you absolutely need to, and do that kind of stuff. So I would check out JMeter for sure. James, can you think of any performance monitoring tools in the open source world?
Hyperic.
Okay.
So Hyperic is a great open source monitoring tool, kind of the Sitescope equivalent.
Is it like that? It uses the cigar libraries?
I don't know which libraries it uses, but it's agent based.
Yeah.
And it'll monitor just about anything.
And of course, Reddy, if you have, you know, for monitoring the system under test while you're testing, you should also be looking at making those tests, active tests, visual. And these are things you can either do with tools like BlazeMeter or Flood.io, plugging these things into, say, Logstash and Graphite, so you can actually see the stuff running. Graphite's something that's open source you can set up and start working with as well. So that kind of gives you the JMeter to create load, and then you either use Hyperic or kind of roll your own logging into Graphite to be able to see those test results. I will also say, if you think about JMeter, look at the JMeter plugins I think it's jmeter-plugins.org. And they have a tool to visualize and do some simple visualization of your results at lotusophia.org. So check out lotusophia.org. And that's the kind of answers you have for sure. Reddy, were those some good answers for you, man?
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling into Perk Bytes on the 4th of July. It's late there. Where are you right now, by the way?
Hyderabad.
In Hyderabad, India. How is it hot out, or it's in the evening time there right now, right?
Yeah, it's night 11:10.
Okay. So thank you, Reddy, and we'll see you online. Thanks for listening.
Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Well, there we go. That is the first time we've actually, I think, had someone live from India on the call. So thank you to Reddy Kotla.
This is true.
And Reddy's all over if you've ever seen him on the testing forums and all the different places. He's like all over the place. And I think he has kind of a crush on Jean Ann Harrison. I'm just saying, I don't want to get too personal, or, you know, that's where we try to keep this show very professional, as you know, James.
Well, you know, I asked Jean Ann if she was going to be joining us today, and she said she had commitments social-wise in the Boston area.
Yeah.
You know, we could have let her know about this crush.
Well, Reddy's not here, so there's no advantageous proximity effect, as one
might
say. But
they could have had a live conversation. We could have been a matchmaker. I don't care what you think, Chewy. I think that's a good...
He's a lover, not a fighter. Okay, so
drunk Wookiees are bad enough. Drunk, angry Wookiees,
yes.
Droids don't pull your arms off.
Don't pull your arms off. That's right. Exactly. So, thank you to Reddy for calling in. You can check that out. James, we should talk it's the summertime. There's not a lot of conferences going on. You know, I had a couple folks ping me about Velocity. And I've seen a couple of announcements at Velocity, even though there wasn't much going on. But you remember we used to do the industry news?
Yes.
We used to cover kind of what's happening in the testing industry news. And we haven't really covered anything like that for a long time.
That's right. Once we started breaking out news of the dam, that kind of took over that whole news piece.
Can you think of anything off the top of your head that's exciting recently?
Summer is such a dead time. They usually make these announcements at conferences.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find anything interesting from the Velocity conference. We know SOSTA's probably got something that they're announcing. They're pretty good about it, making monthly or quarterlies. Some new feature.
Yeah, so that'll be good. Maybe we'll look that up. There's the Follow Me stuff from BlazeMeter that just came out. We'll do it. Let's do an industry news thing maybe in the next segment.
Okay.
So that was Ask Perf Bytes. Just everyone should know, if you'd like to send in a question, the email is ask@perfbytes.com. You can send it to James and I. Those emails come directly to us. As you can imagine, we are all things Perf Bytes. And so we'll have our bevy of interns show up and screen all of the thousands of emails. I actually have four of them.
Mark,
in here. Yes,
we have interns.
Yeah, didn't you have some assigned to your house?
Nobody told me about this.
No, they live in the basement and they work for free. Like you just put pizza under the door and.
I don't have a basement.
No, he doesn't have a basement. That's why. I'm just kidding. So you can send a question on performance or any subject you'd like, actually, to ask@perfbytes.com. And we will take your question on the air on a show, and that would be great. Very good. And so I think one of the first things on our agenda list, which you posted actually to Facebook, and you might not thought that it was an agenda for a show, but I think we have about 3 hours worth of broadcasting that we're going to cover. And here in the first hour, we'll just knock out kind of the first four items, starting with art critiques. So this is kind of a free-for-all show. If people don't remember last year, we got into all sorts of different topics. So tell me a little about the art critique you intended, James, because I know you also told me you're interested in maybe working or maybe investing in a gallery or opening an art. What's the art scoop, Mr. Pulley? What's the art scoop?
Well, if you've ever been to my house, you'll notice almost every wall has some form of art on it. And it rotates, I have spares, sometimes it's seasonal, sometimes it's, I just got tired of that, put something else up. But my background, many of our listeners may not realize,
yes,
includes a period of time of instruction as an art student. An art student.
Did you actually get a degree in art?
No, I did not get a degree in art studentry, but I've done, all of the classical types of painting, from watercolor to oil to acrylic. I've done sculpture. I've even done lost wax casting, Mark.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty impressive. So now here you are later in life at age 29, interested in maybe taking your worldly investments and cashing out of the capitalistic private equity world and maybe starting your own art gallery? Or maybe you...
Well, a friend of mine approached me recently, and she had an opportunity on a gallery in Greenville, South Carolina, which is where my mother lives and my brother lives. And the gallery was not doing well, and she had another gallery in the same town, and it was... And basically, her management style is very good for that particular area, and she knows the art that sells well and things of that nature. That particular deal fell through... But, why not?
Yeah. I think that sounds good. What kinds of arts are you interested in that she's been doing? Or tell me a little bit more about your personal taste or what you think would go well. Because I hear the art market is coming back a little bit. Because it really bombed out during the Great Recession, right?
Well, the great masters always sell and sell at a high price. Because those great masters' works... be it impressionist or or otherwise.
Yes.
They come on the market so very seldom that when they do come on the market, yeah, you're going to see a Japanese equity firm pay $150 million for a Saison to put in the lobby. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That just happens.
That's just how it works out.
That is just how it works out. It's a supply and demand issue. Demand always exceeds supply. Now, what's happening kind of interesting in the art world is we have a market distortion that's been occurring since the 1960s in the art world. So before the National Endowment of the Arts, I mean, you literally did have artists who starved.
Right.
And you know, they would have to find, you know, someone who was a sponsor to sponsor their work, things of that nature. This was the traditional model for art.
Right.
And what happened was is that people who were bad artists left the profession because they could not feed themselves.
Exactly. Well, sounds a lot like load testing.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Or QA generally.
Or QA in general. But since the 1960s, where you have the National Endowment for the Arts, you have the state endowments for the arts, you have local art panels and things of that nature,
yeah.
Essentially you have an oversupply of funds that really support the art community, and you get, well, you don't have artists starving anymore, for one, which is probably a good thing, but you wind up having art which may not be... There may not be a natural market for.
Right.
So it goes on the market and it's bought institutionally. It's bought by a government. It's bought by another agency, right. Things of that nature to, right, support the arts. But it may not necessarily be great art.
Yeah.
We make a jokes in the art world about, oh, look, it's the vacuum cleaner and a block of Lucite.
Well, there's that, okay, part of it. And then there's the painter of light. Overly commercialized, and I have 400 hotels across the country, and I need the same painting all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, commercial art, there's always been a place for commercial art, and for someone who can find a market for people to actually part with their money, I have a lot more respect for that artist,
sure,
than I have for artist who really is just a leech on the government tit.
Well... Yeah, I would give an exception to art educators because they're taking the funding to turn around and do something in educating people like yourself.
Yeah, art education is different. They are really educators first, yeah, artists second.
Yeah, yeah.
But
which is a whole other, there's a whole, Martha actually in her PhD, some other guy did a dissertation that, you know, what's the identity, do these artist educators see themselves as artists first or educators first? So
yeah,
that's a whole other can of worms we won't open. Okay, so cool. So we may, maybe, what if we did Perf Bites Abstract Art?
Perf Bites Abstract Art. I think Perf Bites Abstract Art, or performance abstract. Well, we, right, can't really do the old performance artist thing because, you know, Yoko Ono, right, kind of owns, right, that. And, cool, you know, we really don't want to get anywhere near.
No, which, I would do that. I would dance around like a fairy. I could, yeah, do that.
I think if we were to visualize what a performance test looks like as art, I think it looks like a Wassily Kandinsky painting.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Or it looks like an HP DL320 in a Lucite cube.
Ooh. Can we do like a whole Jackson Pollock on the chassis before we put it in the cube?
I remember talking with Scott Moore once about dressing up an entire rack with the Eddie Van Halen colors and stripes.
As load generators.
Load generator stripes. These are your load generators, the Van Halen style. That would be really awesome. So when might we see something that you would invite, you know, folks to learn more about what you're doing? Is this something happening now or in the next?
Well, as an artist, there's certain things that degrade over time if you don't use them every day. Like, for instance, your painting skills. If you don't use that every day, that whole hand-eye coordination thing does kind of degrade. And admittedly, I haven't done a whole lot of painting of late. But what I have been proficient in the past is as an amateur photographer, because as, yeah, an artist, things that don't degrade are composition and your trained eye. almost like from a performance tester perspective, an architectural vision that doesn't tend to degrade over time. It only improves.
There you go.
And the same thing with an artist, composition, color.
Same thing with single malt scotch if it's in the
barrel. Same things with single malt scotch. So I have been a photographer for many years, amateur photographer. Mark, you and I may be able to leverage that in the future going forward.
Because the pictures we take of, we really do have faces for radio though, James.
Yeah, we
do.
Let's
be honest.
I'm not offended by that.
No, me neither.
So I have sold some.
Somebody thinks a little prima donna there. Somebody wants to be in the spotlight. Chewy. What the hell's the matter with you?
I think you tripped Han on the latest filming of Star Wars, Chewie. I just want to let you know that.
Tripped him? Well, he was trying to get in the spotlight, you know. Yeah. It's the Black Swan thing all over again. I saw that movie. She was crazy. She's weird. Yeah, okay. So
from an art critique standpoint, I was actually hoping that Liz would be here, my friend of many years, that she, you know, brought this opportunity to me for an art gallery, but she's not going to be able to make it today. I'll probably see her on Sunday as she heads from Greenville up to Durham, North Carolina.
All right, so we will look forward.
I mean, we could always walk around the house and do a live critique of some of my bizarro things that are on the walls.
We might do that during Perf Bites late night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is when we sort of let loose with.
I do have some Salvador Dali items that are sufficiently disturbing that actually they're in the server closet.
Okay. Salvador Dali was in the closet?
No, I have a Salvador Dali print that is sufficiently disturbing that I leave it in the server closet.
Really? I have naked pictures of myself that I leave in the... Yeah.
I'm not talking about what's on the server.
Sorry.
I'm talking about in the server room.
That's right. And it's forever broadcast live now that I said that. And... Oh, yeah. Easy for you to say, Chewy. You have naturally covered in fur. You're not actually naked. You're covered in fur. Okay? Me? Look at this. No hair. Just skin. Guy just does not. All right. The next topic up we have is barbecue tacos. Now, I posted back in 2008, 2009, when I started the Loadrunner at HP.com blog, that you and I had barbecue, and then at HP Discover that year, I ran into Scott Moore and talked about barbecue. And I started realizing that more and more people in the load testing world have an affinity to barbecue, if no one else knew this. And James and I are having marvelous barbecue right now that he cooked better than last year, has a little bit of a hot kick in there, but not so much that it spoils a good North Carolina kind of pulled pork, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to barbecue tacos... I draw the line. Barbecue tacos is not barbecue in my book.
Well, you know, it's a cross-cultural thing. The demographics of the Carolinas are changing here, Mark.
You are on the East Coast.
We are on the East Coast, and, you know, having pork tacos is not that unusual.
Well, I can see carnitas.
Yeah.
But it's not barbecue in my book. But, if you put it in a taco.
We could take a cue from the first world fusion cuisine of Tex-Mex, and bring together ingredients and concepts from multiple areas. So what started out as a fish taco became a meat taco, became carnitas taco as more animals became available. And you know what? We could just come full circle. I know, Mark, you don't eat a whole lot of bread, so a tortilla with a little bit of pork barbecue and a little slaw on top, you know, it's a little North Carolina low country or fusion.
Fluffy bastards that graduated from CIA and couldn't get a real job, then bought a truck and started serving food in Portlandia and came up with barbecue tacos. They're to blame. Okay, and I'm calling them fluffy just because I think they're too weak to commit to real barbecue. If you have met some of the best barbecue people on the planet, they are the salt of the earth. They are straight shooters, no BS, and that essence goes into the smoky, spicy flavor that they create. A barbecue taco, you're going to put salsa on it? Next thing you're putting sour cream on it?
No.
Seriously?
No, I draw the line.
Taco's a taco. Then don't call it a taco. Call it barbecue wrapped in a tortilla. But it's not a taco. Taco is very specific.
So we're going to call it a barbecue wrap then?
Yeah. And most people tune into
this
show.
Or a barbecue burrito?
No, it's not even a... Now, there is some... What is it? Alcoa? No, that's the aluminum company thing.
Aluminum Company of America.
Isn't there another thing that's like a smoky jerk chicken kind of... There's some other barbecue. No, I don't forget it. I can't remember what that is. Most people tune into the show and expect us to talk about performance. So I'm glad Reddy got his answer and he's on his way. He's probably going to bed in Hyderabad right now.
Yeah, he's thinking, who are these guys? They're talking about barbecue tacos and art.
Now,
what is the deal here?
Ben Simo's online and he says, put the barbecue in a tortilla and try it. Barbecue chimichangas.
Deep fried.
Forget it. It's not right. I'm against it. But maybe we'll put a poll up in one of the LinkedIn forums. James, you want to actually maybe put a poll in the LinkedIn forum?
Sure.
That there's barbecue and or barbecue taco / chimichanga / tortilla / burrito / enchilada. Like, if you're a load tester, real load testers will know barbecue is barbecue and all this other stuff is some Asian American barbecuing fusion Tex-Mex hell.
Well, actually, you know, when we get down to the point of confusion on what is barbecue.
Yes.
Harry Melamed.
Oh.
It's not a grill.
What?
A barbecue is not a physical preparation device. It is the tasty meat output that
comes from this. Very Australian, isn't he? Like, put something on the Barbie? Because we have an Australian, they turn it into a noun.
Barbecue is a noun.
Barbecue, well, it's not a grilling device.
It's not a grilling device. It's not a verb.
I'll go with that.
Barbecue is the tasty, smoky, meaty output of the process.
Okay, got it. So we're going to put a poll. James is busy eating barbecue right now because we're at his house in a marvelous barbecue-ness. And we're going to put a poll online that says either as a load tester, you vote for barbecue, pure, plain and simple, good old American, like we invented jazz and we invented the blues and we invented barbecue. And if somebody wants to make something else, they're going to have to come up with some
I'm going to cause a lot of problems when I say this, Mark, but
yes, that's fine.
But, they say genetic diversity is highest near the point of origin.
That's true.
Well, there are more diverse versions of barbecue in South Carolina and North Carolina than any other region of the country, which means it got started here. And if we want to say barbecue tacos.
Yeah, see, you're a long ways away from like a Mexican or Spanish kind of thing. Argentina, tacos.
We had corn here before Columbus.
Well, that's a good point. In a corn, but you, yeah. See, tacos to me is a corn tortilla shell. So, all right. But Ben Simo's basically saying try a barbecue chimichanga, and I'm just saying, Ben, dude, I know you're in a border state. Just have a chimichanga with chicken in it, but don't call it barbecue. So, that's exactly right. So that's our debate, and we're going to do a poll on LinkedIn. James is going to do a poll as I'm speaking to you now. One of the other things is James and I have done the 4th of July barbecue Perf Bites thing here. This is our second year doing it. We came down last year. And we've been tossing around this idea that, Perf Bites deserves kind of, we do STP cons, but we don't have our own Perf Bites conference or meetup. I just started on meetup.com. You can look up Perf Bites. And you can start a Perf Bites meetup just to talk about performance stuff at your local International House of Pancakes anywhere. That you are. I do one. I work in Baltimore recently with a customer. So every other Wednesday or so, we get together at the IHOP there and do a Perf Bites breakfast. And we encourage you to do that. And of course, we know 4th of July, we find any of the other folks who are currently online. Sorry, Ben, Reddy, maybe Shane Evans, who just chatted me here. You know, you don't probably have a life much like us. So 4th of July, we're kind of the orphans or the loners. And so here we are online during that. But we're thinking of maybe doing a Perf Bites actual conference, a performance conference of our own, maybe aligning it with STPCon or something like that, or aligning it in May with a barbecue, not barbecue tacos, but actual barbecue festival competition somewhere in the United States.
There is a very large one involving music and barbecue in Memphis in May. I believe it's called Memphis in May.
Memphis in May. So maybe Memphis in May would be, we could actually do a meetup and do like a one day, we could do like a test bash format, like
and, by the way,
conference with like 12 presenters.
I just want to point out there is a restaurant there called Rendezvous.
Called Rendezvous, the LR Rendezvous. We could have them change the name of the restaurant for a day, just put an LR underscore in front of the word and put a parenthesis after it. That would be good. James, you had actually talked about having door prizes here. And, you know, our events, we can bring them to STPCon. There's not an enormous number of people that are here. We started broadcasting at 1. Bob and some other folks are showing up. And we have you guys online. So, James talked about having door prizes and giveaways. Now, if no one knew this, when we go to STPCon, we always have kind of a competition online for who could win a pair of the Perf Bites Converse All-Stars, the high tops, the Chuck Taylors, that are, you've seen them, you know, in our logos, and you've seen them posted on the Facebook page. And we'll give away a pair of Perf Bites shoes. I'm working on refining the Perf Bites t-shirt, the F Waffles t-shirt, which is in high demand, actually, so I have to refine that. The giveaways that James has here are the Star Trek Collector's Edition glasses.
Yes.
And these are... these are not something you can find anywhere. These are like real collector's items.
I believe that's how they were sold to me at Burger King with the first reissue of the Star Trek films.
Okay, and you got these recently?
Oh, no. They've been in the box, in the cabinet for 3 to 4 years.
3 to 4 years. Okay, not like 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
Because the original Burger King glasses, you know, they're probably worth a chunk of change, even though the glass is just worthless. But they're Star Trek. So
they're Star Trek. They're in the box.
They're in the box, and so we'll be giving those away. And if we don't give them away today, maybe we should send one to Reddy in Hyderabad for being on the show.
And how do we treat Mr. Simo then?
Well, we just saw him in Phoenix. He'd have to come back to Denver. You know, I think he used to live in Denver, actually.
Oh.
So he could come to Denver and maybe visit old friends. Or the terrible people he worked for there, who shall remain nameless.
Okay.
Mm. So those are the door prizes. We always give away door prizes because people love door prizes. They love gifts. You go to a conference, you know, tchotchkes, little things for the kids, t-shirts, crazy stuff, to remember the insane times we had together, especially doing Perf Bites late night in Deep Thought, 42nd floor. The fourth item on our list, which is in the first part of our show today, is fresh blackberries.
Yes. Surrounding the neighborhood that I live in, we have a lot of wild blackberries. And I took a container yesterday, filled it full of blackberries, and scattered them around the cheese course plate.
Which is going to show up later in the show as we talk and we actually try some of the cheese pieces. But it's frightfully agrarian of you to be sort of gathering some berries.
Yes, I do hunt occasionally, and in this case I have gathered.
You have gathered some blackberries.
There's a parody there that needs to take place.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that. Shane just posted something in the Spreaker chat session. I think that is, Shane, you may have the ability, the great honor of being the first person to actually post something in the chat session. So, Shane, you said something like, you can't put limitations on what is barbecue, free the meat. And I think that hashtag was already taken, Shane, to be really honest. Think about that hashtag. Just think about it. Maybe look it up before you post. Because not only does barbecue, the only way that barbecue actually has anything to do with load testing is because we all love barbecue. Not hashtags about strange meat things.
And I just want to point out that also on our list was the grandfather of Windows update.
That's the next one on the list here. Mr. Kudas, welcome to Perf Bites 4th of July. We don't have a dedicated microphone for you, but the room is quite live. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
How are you feeling? I know you had a little neck soreness cramping thing.
Yeah, it's interesting that shortly after going to the company store for Microsoft and trying to find something I wanted to buy, my neck started to hurt. I can't find anything I want to buy.
Do you run Windows 8?
Unfortunately.
You do. Oh, yeah, that's... that could be the cause. I don't know that they put it... Do you read the fine print on the terms and conditions that may... Like, doctor warnings may cause severe diarrhea, runny nose, and neck cramps?
Unfortunately, there's a feature that I really like about Windows 8.1 that you can't get otherwise.
So oh.
It's worth the torture.
That's very interesting. So, wow, that's probably really loud. You blew everyone's eardrums out. That's very nice. James was playing with his microphone. That's not a euphemism. And of course, you remember Chewbacca.
I do.
He's happy to see you. So yes, the grandfather of Windows Update, which I think is not actually an insult.
I think it was still embarrassing.
It's slightly embarrassing, but it was one of the projects you started. What are you doing now, actually? So freelancing, doing different stuff,
yeah, doing
programming
a little,
some things?
What I like to call in the sales literature would be enterprise-level support for small businesses.
Okay. So, yeah. So, a little bit more than they're used to getting as a small or medium business.
A small step above Geek Squad.
Geek Squad, yeah. Geek Squad plus plus.
There you go, plus
plus. That would be good. That's really nice. But, you know, think of your history and your career. What's the most favorite thing you remember having written?
Written?
Yeah, because the three of us are actually ex-Microsoft guys, right?
Yeah,
we know all the stuff on the inside that's never going to see the light of day.
Well, I guess I'd have to go back to the project that was known as Waddle, the predecessor or inspiration that a vice president, when he saw it, said, put that in a product. And shortly after, what's his name, invented the internet. Who's the father of the internet?
Al Gore.
Yeah, Al Gore.
No, it was the guy before Al Gore.
Al Gore's father.
Al Gore Sr.?
No. He was also in politics, though. I thought it was some geek in Bell Labs who got like was doing a government contract for the Department of Defense.
Well, what was funny about the project was everything when it got out of control as a Skunk Works Act, which I didn't even know what that meant in my innocent days. Everything was dependent upon the worldwide bulletin board systems.
Oh yes,
and so you had a call. I can't imagine what it'd be like today if you had a call and download a driver. With the modem, what kind of infrastructure that would require.
Well, I saw an update to something in the Mac OS recently, which was 1.5 gigabyte update. No, yeah. That's not an update. That's an entire reproduct install.
Yep. So I want to give a little bit of color to Greg's conversation here. Both Greg and I were in Microsoft product support at the time.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. I'm glad you both escaped.
Yes, it was good that we both got out. One of the core challenges in Windows support, or as we used to call it, Windows hardware support, was what is the latest driver that fixed something? And there was an internal share at Microsoft. You know, there's always an internal share at Microsoft that always has the latest on it.
Toolbox.
But... How do you make everyone on the phones aware of what that latest one is, what its name, how to go get it in the BBS? And Greg wrote a tool for himself.
Just to make it easier.
And, you know, as they say, all good programmers are somewhat lazy.
Yep.
I don't want to have to go and continue to do this thing over and over again.
I think that's why an operating system exists.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd be moving bits and bytes by hand.
So... Greg wrote this, started lending it out to people, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and that was the precursor to Waddle?
No, that was Waddle.
Waddle
the internal version,
and then it became.
Yeah, there was a thing that we called Chicago Waddle.
I remember
that. It was supposed to be kind of a precursor of what would happen in. Gosh, what was that XP? I don't even remember.
It became XP because Chicago was NT, and then it was on the evolution
it was
path.
Next, right.
People and everyone looked at XP under the covers and went, "Oh, that's NT3 POSIX 351." Blah blah. You know, it was the same.
Yeah, actually,
stuff.
I
Hang on
remember
a second, James.
That.
Okay, go ahead. James is fixing his microphone. Well, his microphone keeps sort of drooping in kind of a I don't know.
I know. Wookiees.
There's no little blue pill to fix the Microsoft.
Wookiees have that same problem as well, but much older in their age. It can be like 400 years old, right, Wookiees?
Yep.
So something's beeping. No idea what's beeping. Something's beeping. Maybe the barbecue is beeping. That would be interesting.
Yes.
All right, Greg, so welcome. We've gone through a few different subjects here.
Yeah,
we actually took
about barbecue taco.
Well, that was a debate, and we're going to put a poll up. If barbecue is barbecue, and then there's the barbecue taco, and a couple folks are giving a vote for barbecue making its way into chimichangas. And to me, I'm like, the minute you take those steps into that larger world, I'm not trying to be xenophobic or, you know, conservative about my barbecue, but just let it be barbecue. Just call... Don't call it bar. It's a chimichanga, smoky chimichanga.
I had a really
a smoky
good,
meat chimichanga. It's not barbecue taco.
Yeah, I had a really nice barbecue sandwich at the Presbyterian Hospital in downtown Charlotte yesterday.
All right.
And I had a Yale slaw on the side. So you could still get controversy on whether or not slaw is allowed. I say it's not.
Yeah.
But probably the majority would.
But
would say
I'm like, what's next? Cheddar cheese? Little bit of iceberg lettuce chopped up, some sour cream, some salsa on top of your barbecue. That's, to me, that's frightening.
Yeah, it's very frightening. I had tomatoes for the first time, unlike the tomato paste. Is that what they use in Lexington, James?
Call it a sauce.
I like to call it ketchup. So I had tomatoes
it's
on
top. Bastardized
not
ketchup.
A sauce, actual tomato slices.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So that might, well, still, I think. I think I'm going to actually petition my Congress people to actually start to write some laws about barbecue is protected as barbecue.
So
that would not work here in North Carolina.
No.
That
I think
cause a civil war.
Well, you could work. I mean, I think it's states' rights and maybe even little municipalities. So each city will draft up what their definition is, and then if you're in their city limits. When you refer to barbecue, you are referring to their official definition at the city level.
Like a barbecue appellation. So, like you have a Bordeaux, you have a Charlotte.
Exactly. Same thing in Germany, right?
One These requirement.
Are, yeah.
Pig.
Porcine.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But, I mean, you go to Kentucky or Texas, you've got a totally different story going on. So.
Yeah, the stuff in Texas isn't barbecue. They just think it is.
There we go. So, we're going to put up a poll. Who knows what the hell this poll is going to look like?
It just says, okay, PerfByteians. It's in LinkedIn, the PerfByte forum. Barbecue straight up, barbecue tacos, barbecue enchiladas, barbecue chimichangas, chicken, beef, pork, or rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake. It's just, that's not right. It's not right. So, Greg Kudas, welcome to PerfBytes. You're on the air. Just so you know, if you have any bodily functions to do, sneezing, you know, it'll be broadcast and captured forever. Help yourself to food. Oh, pardon me?
We may have another guest arriving. I need to make a phone call just to check.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I was going to carry on maybe with a little story. But first, maybe we can take a little news from our sponsor. I'll give a shout out, as you guys have heard on almost every episode. We give some thanks to Nuco and all of the different companies that are actually under James. James and his partner, Jim Calabrese. Is it Jim? John? No, sorry, it's John Calabrese. He's going to pop my kneecaps. Good Lord. Sorry, Jim. Sorry, man. There is no post. It's a live show.
Oh, wow.
But I do want to say thank you very much to them. They host a lot of what we do for free while donating it to run our websites and be able to share the different feeds that we share. And put things out there, and of course, give James kind of the time to actually put the shows together and stuff, which is really great. And we would be remiss if we did not mention our true sponsors from a financial donation and also community support from Tim Koopman at Flood.io. Flood.io is really a marvelous new platform. Performance testing from the cloud, performance testing for everyone that can actually hop on, JMeter-based or Gatling-based, so it works really well for folks working in development. And if you're doing DevOps, you're actually deploying your applications directly into production or into the cloud, you can get immediate feedback on performance from doing load tests from the cloud using Flood.io, so check them out at http://flood.io. Which would be really great. Over the last 6 months also, we've had Cubic Cubic Load Pack is a load pack of add-ins to JMeter, and they've actually given us some show support here and there, so we share some ads. So just giving a shout-out to Cubic as well. Thanks very much for your support. And if you're interested, you're working for a company or you know of a vendor who would like to join PerfBytes, we've talked to Lorinda Brandon at SmartBear, so we love them. And maybe think about having them as a sponsor. We've always been bugging our friends Brad Johnson at Soxta, because Brad, someday you're going to come over and you're going to do it. We're really inexpensive. It's not, you know, it's just nothing but peer visibility into the performance and load testing community.
And by the way, Brad, we can always have a discussion about automobiles on the air as well.
Exactly. That we can do that at PerfBytes Late Night, which would be fine.
Yeah.
Not that today is a rare day. Once a year, we just talk about anything under the sun. So special thanks to those folks. And if you're interested in being a sponsor, please just give us a call. You can send us an email at info@perfbytes.com. And now we'll jump back in. I actually noticed on the chat session here in Spreaker, Ashwin says, we have a Barbecue Nation franchise in India. Barbecue Nation in India. And here's the question. Ashwin, go out and check this LinkedIn forum if the poll is posted. Make a comment on that thread and maybe a link to Barbecue Nation in India. Maybe they can do a special Perf Bites recipe. In fact, you might talk to James and get his pulled pork North Carolina style recipe, because this is really good today. Greg, have you had any yet?
Yeah, I've savored
Better than last year?
Better
remember
last
year? Yeah, I like it. So maybe Ashwin, we could
you don't have to say North Carolina barbecue.
I don't.
You just barbecue. Everything else is not barbecue.
See, that's spoken like a true zealot fan. Over the top, brother. Very nice. So Ashwin, that'd be great. We are a we have a barbecue. Next time I'm in India, I've never been. Want to go.
Send the address. It may come time for a road trip sometime.
Road trip across the many oceans. You have to travel across two oceans to get there.
I think if I go through Alaska in the winter and then jump from Aleutian Island to Aleutian Island, maybe I can get frozen water that
yes.
I can drive across.
So that would be good. So Ashwin, send us a link to Barbecue Nation if they have a website, and we will flood. We'll probably get them on News of the Dam. We'll flood them with requests, which would be fine. It's time in the Perf Bites world for us to talk a little bit about our little friend Chewbacca, who actually joined the Perf Bites staff just last year. And what? Oh. I get it. So we should talk about what's in the array, because James, you posted a picture of all of the different scotches we have, and of course we know Wookiees cannot handle the drink. They just two sips and he's over.
He was in the tequila earlier today. It was Carlos Santana tequila. So he was in the tequila earlier today, and
now he's yeah.
Now he's just warbling from bottle to bottle.
I don't get it. First of all, I know Chewbacca as an individual was set out to be a very unique and special kind of Wookiee because of the company he kept and the endeavors that he was committed to doing, fighting for the forces of good. And you saw him in the episode, I think it was episode 3, before New Hope, when the Wookiees were kind of buddy-buddy with Yoda.
Yeah.
And helped Yoda. I mean, the Wookiees are, we know they're on the right side of history, if we can call it history, because it's in a galaxy far, far away a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I mean, it's not really our history at that point. Right? Okay. But Chewbacca turned out to be quite the lush here, and I wonder if it's just maybe post-traumatic stress disorder from everything that he went through as an individual. Maybe all Wookiees are not drunks.
Han Solo had an ankle injury.
And?
So that's probably the cause of the drinking.
So... No, I can't go there. I was going to say, you know, some pets have a sympathetic response.
Oh, that's true.
And all I can think of is Spaceballs. Mog.
And Spaceballs.
Yeah, John Candy's character.
Okay, so Ashwin actually posted, bring it up, James, if you will.
www.barbecue-nation.com, and he's actually going to go see if they can have a Perf Bites recipe.
Cool.
Ashwin, you're the bomb, man. That's awesome.
Is that BBQ-Nation?
BARBEQUE. So barbecue-nation.com. We'll check it out. We'll actually share it on our Facebook page, which is great. Thanks, Ashwin. That's fantastic.
I need to like that.
All right, back to Wookiees who are concerned with drinking. First of all, to the best of my knowledge, Chewbacca here is not a member of AA and has not, you know, he's not even trying hard to deal with. He doesn't admit he has a problem. And actually, from his perspective, guy doesn't have a job, and James pretty much lets him live in his house 24/7 without paying rent.
Is that true?
Look at the yeah.
I thought you were the Wookiee escort.
No, I anteed up some of the adoption fees and some of that stuff. Okay. We brought him last year, but he's been living here for the last year, free rent and free food and free drink. So not only, James, are you being taken advantage of, but it's a Wookiee. So he's hit the tequila, and we should talk a little bit about...
But he's great as a dust mop.
Yeah, actually, you could. He's actually a pretty good dust mop. When he's passed out, he can just kind of
when he's a little tipsy, he just kind of
rubs against the walls and stumbling around and stuff. Yeah.
He just picks up all the dust.
Can you just spray him with like Pledge or end dust and let him walk around your furniture? I mean, I wouldn't teach him how to break dance on the top of the desk and then spray some Pledge. You'd be fine.
Well, I heard you're supposed to spray your Wookiees.
Well, that's a totally different thing, right? That's like Ridex or some of the other. Yeah, that was terrible. College was tough for Wookiees. But we should talk, as we always do with Perf Bites, we are up late at night doing load testing, and actually at the conferences we always talk about having a single malt scotch. And there's a couple really great selections that are on the table here. Now, I brought a Talisker 25-year, which, courtesy of Scott Morris Collection, and Scott passing on some of these great items to me, I brought the Talisker 25-year. So that's going to be the last one that I have, just because I want to compare it to things. But James, you've got one of my favorites, the Ardbeg.
Yeah.
Ardbeg Ardbeg, limited release. And some donation from every purchase goes to the preservation of protected bogs in Scotland. I also brought a Laphroaig, what is it, a triple wood?
Yes.
And I thought that was apropos, and that is really, really tasty. But the Talisker is quite tasty as well. Now, James, what else did you have in the collection here? So there's a British Antarctic Expedition from 1907. If you've ever heard of the story of McKinley, right? It's actually from the explorer Shackleton in the turn of the century, who got stranded in Antarctica, and as they left the boat, they left behind what, like 10 cases of rare single malt scotch?
Well, you know, whenever you go someplace cold, you need antifreeze. And this is exactly the form that it took at the turn of the last century, which is scotch. And the people over, I believe, at McMurdo Station, the USA Station, used to go over and help themselves to some of this scotch that was, you know, frozen in the ice. It was 100 years old.
Take it out, thaw it.
Yeah, until it was declared a World Heritage Site, which means you can't raid the scotch anymore.
Yes.
Well, what do you do? Well, the individuals at McKinley decided they blended the original scotch for the expedition. Let's go ahead and send one of our chief scotch architects or creators or... you know, however you want to say it, down to remove a bottle, to take some samples, and then blend a version which matches the taste of that whiskey on the palate.
That's wild.
So it's a scotch with a really wild and interesting story involving death, freezing, stranding on Antarctica, you know, the UN getting involved, and I believe they actually had to return the bottle that they borrowed back to the site.
Cool. I just posted a picture of the box and the bottle.
So we have that, and then we have two Oregon single malts. We have an Edgefield Monkey Puzzle.
Monkey Puzzle.
And we have...
That's racist.
And then we have a Westward Oregon Straight Malt Whiskey.
Now, where did you pick these up?
So, Westward...
Let me guess, you picked them up in Oregon.
Actually, Westward came as a gift.
That's nice.
And it evidently had a very good write-up in some magazine as the Oregon single malt to have. You can also get it in the Portland airport, by the way. And the Monkey Puzzle came from a trip out to the Portland, Oregon area. And what's that brewery?
McMenamins?
McMenamins. It was one of the McMenamins sites. McMenamina? Yeah. McMenamina.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we're rapping here. Evidently,
that was more like scatting, not rapping.
Okay. Well, they produce whiskeys as well as beers, and Monkey Puzzle was one of their varietals.
Very good. Now, we're going to try a few of these things. Now, keep in mind... We owe a great gratitude to Scott Moore for teaching us the Scotch tasting technique. That's coming up next, actually. So thank you, Scott, for teaching this. And we always encourage people to drink responsibly. And by drinking responsibly, we mean do not quaff your single malt scotch, because the stuff is expensive and it's really about tasting, not drinking. If you want to drink...
And I do want to share a story.
Yes.
In that arena, I used to have some scotches that were 30 years old.
Yes.
And I was in a relationship, and I was traveling, and she had someone come and stay while I was...
And all of your rare scotch.
And evidently he had a drinking problem, and what he used to do is he would help himself to the most expensive scotches in the cabinet, and then he would refill it with water.
Oh, I never...
Yeah, that's bad, James.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I only found this out after the relationship ended, and I went to have a sip one evening. It was like, there's something very, very wrong here.
Yeah. So my challenge to you is, have you contacted Mr. Moore about actually acquiring any of his collection?
I have not.
You should, because he'll pick out some great ones for you. He'd really... I got some really, really great... blends. I don't normally drink blends, but those are in there. But I think I got the best of his peat, all of the peatiest, really nice Elays, and that's really nice. So in Denver at STPCon, we will, as usual, every late night, even though we don't, because obviously we don't have enough to do every evening, we will, just like we do at every STPCon, come and join us at the show and do some late night scotch tasting. We'll teach you the proper tasting method, which is will help you appreciate all of the flavors and the bouquets and all kinds of interesting things in the single malt scotch. And that's at Denver STPCon. That'll be happening, let me think.
October.
No. First week in November. First week in November, right after Halloween. He's going to serve me more barbecue. We've been broadcasting now for just a little bit over an hour, and we've covered art history a little bit of the art market and James's future. We've covered barbecue tacos. We talked about the Star Trek glasses for door prizes, James's hunter-gatherer instincts coming out and collecting fresh blackberries to surround the cheese plate. Greg Kudas, you've joined us as the Grandfather Windows update. How's the barbecue? You just finished the first plate there.
Is that two plates?
Two plates. Oh. It's worth going back for seconds. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. And then, of course, we talked a bit about our Chewbacca, our inebriated Wookiee friend. James, should we take a break and come back in the second half of the hour, or do you want to just let this thing keep rolling? We're going to keep it rolling. We're going to take a break. So we're going to take about a 5-10 minute break, and then we're going to come back with part two of the barbecue Perf Bites barbecue, Perf Bites Live Barbecue 2.0 in 2014. So we're going to hit the stop button here, and we're going to come back in about 15 minutes, and we'll see you guys then. Let me see what I can do here. I can do some outro music, can't I? Look at that. I can just go like this. Yeah, that should be playing. Yeah. Well, Perf Bites music in the background. That's nice. All right, so Greg, I have two questions for you. What is the most common physical bottleneck in Windows?
No idea.
User.
The user. Very, very good. All right. And the second question is, Windows 8.1, what was this favorite feature that you just had to go to 8.1?
Servers has had, from time to time, a hypervisor-compatible program.
Yeah.
Windows Hyper-V?
Yeah.
In Windows 8.1, they're allowing it on the client. And so that's a pretty big step. I don't know who decided to give that away.
Very interesting.
But you can run virtualized machines right out of the box.
Right out of the box.
In the Pro version.
Oh, so 8.1 Pro. Now, this replaces the old... there was the old virtual PC that was around for a long time. That's gone. Dead for a long time. In Windows 7 or maybe even in Vista, they introduced XP mode, which was old libraries or the same kind of thing,
right? So you could run old programs.
Yeah, and they did some automatic setup. This is actually taking Microsoft Virtual Server, the Hyper-V from that, and actually putting it right on the client.
We have a note from Reddy.
Yes.
Learned a few insights on performance from Tomlinson and Pulley.
Very good. Yeah, you're very welcome, Reddy. Thanks for your question. Just to repeat again, we are live on the air on Spreaker. You can visit us at spreaker.com/show/perfbytes, or just look in Google for Spreaker Perfbytes. And we have quite the chat going down below. It's going to kind of go away and then come back as I continue broadcasting here. And we'll come back after a little break. Thanks, guys. Thank you.